This is Old Time Radio Drama, and good evening. Welcome. I'm Norman Gilliland here with Gene Purcell, and we're hoping to stir up some action back there in Pledge Central tonight. Listen to that. There's a phone call right there. Somebody who called 1-800-383-9772.
And there we go, somebody coughing.
That's right, somebody coughing, too. That's what you get with live radio. Another call. We hope they're supporting old-time radio drama. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be going to Mr. James Stewart and the Six Shooter. We'll have Jack Benny tonight. Lights Out, that's a creepy one. Tonight, Meteor Man from 1942, Escape and the Shadow at about 10:30. Hope you'll be with us. Don't forget to go to the web and pledge that way, WPR.org.
Or just call 800-383-9772. Looks like we've got a goal this hour of about $2,500. We'd love to hear from you, love to hear support for old-time radio drama, one of the stalwarts here on Wisconsin Public Radio in still a relatively new time slot. And I have to say, by all accounts, it's been successful, and I think we're going to be successful again tonight with your call and your pledge at WPR.org.
We'll just hope to hear from you. We'll give you an update, and we'll tell you about this wonderful, I don't even know how to describe this radio. I'll describe it.
It's a beautiful thing. How's
it
that?
It has all kinds of things. That's all we can tell you for now, because we want to go right into the Six Shooter. But you can get one for $150 if you call back there and pledge Central. They'll tell you all about it, as Gene and I will a little bit later. After we've checked in with the Six Shooter, this is James Stewart in one of those latter-day westerns, which is to say 1953-54, with a gentler touch than westerns had in film, on television, or before this on radio, for that matter. Tended to be more psychological. Tonight, and sometimes whimsical and downright funny. Tonight at Silver Annie's Mine, from October 11th, 1953. And thanks for those pledges supporting old-time radio drama.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many great stars brought to you on Sundays on NBC. Every Sunday, hear Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage, Sir Laurence Olivier on Theatre Royal, Lawrence Tibbett with The Golden Voices, Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, and Lily Palmer on the NBC Star Playhouse. All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company present James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you'll hear Act One of The Six Shooter. The Red Cross trains millions of Americans each year in first aid, water safety, home nursing, and as volunteer nurses' aides. Volunteer nurses' aides assist professional nurses in hospitals and clinics. This help requires skill. It is through the Red Cross that you and your neighbor can get that skill, can get that training. Through the Red Cross, you can answer the call of your family and your community. Help make this training possible. Give through the American Red Cross Fund. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
To Virtue City was over the crest of Bare Neck Mountain and then down the northern slope. That's why you couldn't see the town until you were almost there, not in the clouds. There always seemed to be a stack of thick marshmallow clouds along the side of Bare Neck, and by the time you got through them, the town was right in front of you. Anyway, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I hit the city limits, and At least what had been the city limits 10, 15 years ago. Of course, nowadays, houses on the outskirts weren't much more than just loose timber and broken windows. When I reached the main street, things looked more normal. Not like a real town, of course, but... Well, the mercantile was open, and the bank, and the post office. 10 or 12 stores, maybe, all still doing business. I spotted what I was looking for. The sign on the Opera House said, Rocky Mountain Western Railroad, Virtue City Office. Well, I guess they might as well use the Opera House for something. Jenny Lynn sure won't be singing there anymore. Not like she did for the grand opening. Howdy.
Afternoon. Excuse me.
Oh, sure.
Mind handing me that box?
Hmm?
That one there on the desk.
Oh, this one, yeah.
Yeah, I want to put these papers in it. Yeah, thanks.
You're cleaning out the office,
That's
huh?
Right.
I see, yes. Moving to another place.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's plenty of vacancies in Virtue City, isn't there?
Yeah, there'll soon be one more.
Oh, wait a minute. What? You leaving town?
I sure am, mister. In 3 weeks. That's what I wasted here. 3 weeks. Well, I'm not wasting any more time. Tomorrow night, that's the deadline. Then I take the stage. Virtue City doesn't deserve a railroad, and they're not getting one.
Hmm?
Well, what's on your mind?
Well, under the circumstances, I'm not exactly sure.
That's no surprise. Nobody's sure of anything around here.
No, what I mean is I was figuring on signing up with the railroad. I've laid track before, and I thought that I heard the new line was going through Virtue City.
You heard wrong, mister.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry to have troubled you.
There's other folks who should be sorry. Gave me their word. Said they'd have the right of way free and clear. Ought to sue them. That's what we ought to do.
Hmm?
Over here in the courthouse. It's
what?
Me, Doc Cross.
What? Oh, hello, Doc.
Come on in. I say, come on in.
Oh, well, sure. Doc?
Second office, Britt, on your right.
Oh, I didn't know you were still living on a... Well, what in the thunder are you doing in a wheelchair, Doc?
Oh, I fell off my horse a couple of months ago. It'd be his fault, not mine.
Oh, his fault. Oh, sure, yes. Did you break anything?
Well, I ain't positive. Had to send for Doc Sampson over to Watsonville. He says I broke my leg. Oh, butcher, don't think he'd know a broken leg from a floating kidney. If you ask me, he's keeping me off my feet so he'll get a crack at all my patients.
Oh, well, Doc could do you good. Get a little rest.
Maybe. Hey, sit down, Britt. Sit down.
Thanks. Well, I was kind of surprised to see the courthouse still open. I thought they'd moved county seat over to Fort Gray.
Politicians. Yeah, those people in Fort Gray bribed the legislature. That's what they did. But we'll get the county seat back again. Just you wait and see. Meantime, we're using the courthouse for a city hall. I guess we got just about the fanciest city hall west of Denver.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised.
I'm the mayor now, Britt.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Sir.
Good deal.
What about you? What brought you to Virtue City after all this time? I hope you ain't just passing through.
Well, I'm afraid so, Doc. I was aiming to sign up at the railroad, but since they ain't coming this way...
Not coming this way, but who told you that?
Well, that fellow over at the Opera House.
Oh, that's Nelson, Thad Nelson. Don't pay no attention to him.
Well, he works for the railroad, doesn't he?
Well, yes, he does. But he ain't never wanted the line to go through Virtue City anyhow. He'd rather it went the way of Watsonville. If you ask me, Watsonville is paying him off.
Oh?
That's the reason he's been looking for an excuse to get out of our contract. He figures this trouble with Annie will let him off the hook.
Annie?
Silver Annie. You remember her, Britt. Annie Huxley.
Annie Huxley. Oh, sure. Well, I thought she'd moved away.
No such luck. She's still setting on the old Huxley mine like a hen hatching eggs. Only thing is, there ain't no eggs in that mine. Not anymore.
Well, what's she got to do with the railroad, though?
Well, Britt, the route's been surveyed to go through her property. Town agreed to secure all the right-of-ways the railroad would need. We're willing to pay for him and a good price.
But Annie's not satisfied with what you're offering.
We don't know. She won't talk to us. Won't even let anybody near her shack.
Oh.
She just sits there day and night, right by the window with her shotgun poking out. Anybody comes on her land, she lets go. Got some fool notion there's still silver in that mine, and folks are trying to get it away from her. Plumb crazy, that's what she is, if you ask me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Doc. Maybe Annie's living the past a little bit.
She got quite a pass to live in, too, you know. Chief, was I remember about her wedding to Sin Huxley. About how he put down a street of silver dollars all around the church. You remember that?
Yes, well, that's beside the point. I sent for Clyde Huxley.
Clyde?
Yeah, he's a relative of Sin's, a distant cousin or something like that, but a relative. We had to pay his fare all the way out from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. He seeing Anna yet?
That's where he is right now, and he'll straighten her out. You see, he's a lawyer, and he's not the kind to put up with any nonsense. So, well, Mr. Huxley, I didn't see you ride up, and I've been watching the street.
I didn't ride. I walked.
Oh, now, don't tell me that horse of mine threw you, too.
The horse didn't throw me. Where will I find the chief of police?
What?
I'm charging that woman with attempted murder.
Oh, you don't mean Annie.
I certainly do mean Annie. She ought to be locked up. And if I have anything to do with it, she will be.
Oh, then she wouldn't sign over the right-of-way. Not even for you, her own kin.
I didn't get a chance to discuss it. She shot at me, point blank.
Don't look like she hit you.
It was a miracle she didn't.
Well, I guess she just didn't know who you were, Mr. Huxley. She didn't recognize you.
I told her who I was. Right after that, she fired.
Yeah, some folks just don't cotton to relatives, seems like.
Well, she tried to kill me.
Oh, no, she was just defending her property, Mr. Huxley. If she'd wanted to kill you, you wouldn't be walking around now. Annie knows how to handle a gun.
Well, now, we got to do something, Britt. If we don't have that right away by tomorrow, Nelson, he's the railroad man, Nelson will leave town. The railroad will go through Watsonville, and that'll just about wash up Virtue City once and for all.
Well, now, there must be some way of explaining things to Annie, Doc. I throw her in jail, I'd just have to make her more cussed than ever, you know.
But, say, maybe there is another way. Sure. Somebody she trusted, somebody who didn't have no axe to grind. She'd listen to him.
Now, Doc.
You got those papers all ready for her to sign, Mr. Huxley?
Doc.
Then give them to Britt.
Doc, now this ain't my affair, Doc. Now, I don't want to get mixed up with this.
Oh, I know you, Britt.
No, but
you wouldn't let us down, not at a time like this. Go on, Huxley, give him the papers.
Now, wait a minute.
We'll never forget what you're doing, Britt. The whole town will be in your debt. Just get her to sign them. The places are marked with an X.
Doc. Next thing I knew, I was riding up to the Huxley mine. Annie's shack was next to the main shaft, about 100 yards off the road. I slid down out of the saddle and tried the gate. Holy smokes. Padlock big enough to protect the Denver Mint was chained around the post. Well, I had nothing else to do but climb over the fence. Getting on toward dusk. Now, I didn't know whether to sneak up on Annie unawares or just walk up to the front door in plain sight and take my chances. While I was making up my mind, I was flattened down behind a pile of wooden boxes. Well, at least one thing was certain. I wasn't going to sneak up on her unawares.
Go on! Be it! Next time I won't miss.
I'll put that thing down, Annie, or I'll shoot it out of your hands.
Well, who's on fire? Who is that?
Britt Ponsett.
Britt?
That's right.
I'm on a node. None of the flea-bitten skunks from around here'd have nerve enough to talk to me that way.
All right, I'm coming in, Annie.
I guess there's no stopping you. Not that I believe you'd ever try to shoot this gun out of my hand, Britt, no matter what you say.
Well, that makes us even, man. I don't believe you would aim it at me, either. How are things, Annie?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. To close that door, will
you? Sure.
Fact of the matter is, Britt, I've been working the southern shaft lately. Found a vein that looks real promising. One of these days, the Huxley will be going full force again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Annie, now, you don't really believe that.
Well, of course I believe it. Why shouldn't I? We took a quarter of $1 million out of this mine, Sin and me, and there's plenty more. It's just a question of finding it. Here, you want some coffee?
Yeah, thanks. Now, these hills have been worked dry, Annie. There's no silver in them, not anymore. And that's why I came up to talk to you.
Here. Drink your coffee.
Thanks.
It's about the right of way for the railroad. You're just wasting your breath.
No, but Doc Cross said you didn't know anything about the railroad, that nobody had been able to explain it to you.
Oh, nobody had to explain it. There's nothing goes on in Virtue City that I don't get wind of. I ain't lived here 35 years for nothing.
Oh, Doc says the town needs the railroad, needs it bad.
Why, I got no objection to a railroad into Virtue City. Probably need it myself to haul the ore out when I strike a rich vein. But the line don't have to go through my property.
Mm-hmm. In a mountain country like this, railroads don't have much choice. I asked Doc Cross. The only other route would cost a whole lot more money, more than the Rocky Mountain Western's willing to pay.
Well, that ain't my problem. All I care about is the Huxley. And they not laying any tracks across it.
All right, Annie. All right. That's the way you feel. Thanks for the coffee. Oh, I guess maybe I ought to warn you. Your cousin's talking about putting you in jail.
He ain't my cousin. He's Sin. And Sin never had no use for him neither.
Well, whoever he is, he's...
And as for putting me in jail, he'll have to find somebody to come out here and arrest me first. From what I've seen of him this afternoon, there ain't much...
There she is.
Hey!
Give me that gun, Annie.
What?
Make no trouble.
What's going on here, Huxley?
I told you I was going to swear out a warrant for arrest. Thanks to you, the sheriff was able to serve it.
Responsive!
Now, wait a minute. Annie.
Of all the low-down means...
Annie?
Keeping me occupied so sneak in here.
No,
why are you...
Come on, Annie, let's go.
Listen, Annie, I can swear
to you. I've done enough listening to you already.
Annie?
Take your hands off me, sheriff. I ain't one of the girls from Crawford's saloon. I'm Silver Annie Huxley. And when I go to jail, I go under my own power.
Silver Annie going to jail under her own power. We'll see how long she stays there. And we'll also find out, before we get back to the six-shooter, and that's, of course, James Stewart and Company from October 11th, 1953, we'll find out how old-time radio drama does on this Saturday night. Yes, it's a pledge Saturday, and we'll hope to hear from you. It's particularly important that we hear from you because this really is the only Saturday night that we're going to be asking during this pledge drive. You can hear the phones ring back there in Pledge Central, and they need to ring if we are going to know that you're out here listening on a Saturday night. Call 1-800-383-9772 or go to the web at WPR.org. We need 25 calls this hour. We've got one, and we hope to hear from you because that's the way you hear from us in the year to come. And also, Gene Purcell and I, Norman Gilliland, have some neat things to offer you. Thank you for that call. We have some neat things to offer you when you call in at particular levels.
Indeed, we do. And there is one neat thing that has already entranced me, I have to tell you.
You have not put it down yet.
I know. It's sort of unbelievable. And I understand we've only got 10 of these. Just 10. So we will be keeping track in Pledge Central when you call in. But here's the deal. This is what we got. This is what has captured my attention. And let me give you that number before I start with this description, because once I start, I may not stop for a while. 800-383-9772 is that toll-free number. What I'm holding in my hand is an Eaton Grundig FR-300 emergency radio.
Thank you for that call. That may be somebody snapping one up.
Mm-hmm. And they're available at the $150 level. So let me just tell you what's all in this. It has an AM radio, an FM radio. It's got the NOAA weather radio in it. It's also got TV channels in it. It's got a flashlight. It has an emergency flasher
light. All right. That's a lot of stuff, Gene. Now, what is going to stop it? What is going to stop it from running down, though?
Ah. I knew you were going to ask that, because every time you get out in the woods, your batteries go dead. This has a crank on it that powers a dynamo, that powers rechargeable batteries inside of it, so you are never without power. It's a beautiful thing.
All those kinds of power. So Let's say you can use regular, what I think is just take one or two AA alkaline batteries.
It looks like a couple of AA's here. Two or three AA's.
All right. Then it's got the rechargeable batteries in it.
It does.
You can also, I think, plug the thing in, right?
You can. It's got a little 6-volt input here for a little wall work.
And you can also plug it in,
I believe.
AC kind of thing. And at the same time, you can recharge your cell phone with
it,
right?
You can plug your cell phone in.
And crank the... So this thing is it's a jack-of-all-trades. It's a real dynamo, and you can get one for $150 pledge. It's AM, FM, and weather bands.
Yep.
And plus the siren, of course.
Plus the siren.
And the flashing red light. You can have a lot of fun in the tent with that, you know.
I've had a lot of fun already.
Gene's had a lot of fun right here in the studio. You can get one for $150, but let me tell you, on top of that, as long as we're talking about $150, on top of that, you also get that member card. Mm-hmm. You get that from every pledge from $120 up, and maybe you've heard us telling about it, but listen up, because it gets better. It keeps getting better. It has now the more than 200 restaurants. You get two for one. So you buy a $20 entree. The person with you buys one. It's 15 or 20 bucks. That one's free.
That's absolutely
right. Participating restaurants, of which there are many. You also, if you go to any number of bed and breakfasts in the general vicinity of Wisconsin, stay a night, the next night is free.
How can you beat that?
How can you beat that? And it also has online stores with discounts. It has... I think orchestras, it has museums, all of this stuff. And you get that with every pledge for 120 up. So let's say you pledge 150. You get the member card. You get the radio. You get old-time radio for the next year. That's a deal. I think these radios probably will not last through the hour. I think they'll go pretty quickly.
I'm surprised they've lasted this long, quite frankly.
Previous experience. I know Gene's going to try to get one before they get out of here. We still need about another 23 calls to make this hour a success for old-time radio. And why not have nine more of them, let's say, be $150 calls getting the radio and supporting old-time radio drama? Let's have the phones ring, 1-800-383-9772. Or you can go to the web at WPR.org, and we'll just hope to see the numbers roll up. These, above all, frankly, as far as Gene and I are concerned, your calls, your pledges, our votes for old-time radio Saturday night. Thanks for that call.
They are indeed, and thank you for that call. Thanks for all of those calls. You can pledge online, not quite as spectacular as hearing the phone ring, but just as effective. And you can pledge online at WPR.org. Just go to the homepage, and right on there on the upper left-hand side, you'll see where you click to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. And you can also check these radios out online, too, the Grundigs that I've been talking about. 800-383-9772. We'd like to thank all of the volunteers who are with us tonight on this Saturday night here at Wisconsin Public Radio, answering your phone calls, doing their part for Wisconsin Public Radio. And so when you make the call here, you'll be talking to somebody just like you, somebody who loves public radio, somebody who is an old-time radio fan, no doubt, and somebody who would be happy to take your pledge to WPR. 800-383-9772.
We're going to go back to Silver Annie's Mine, but you still can call, of course, during the show, and at the $150 level, get the member card and the radio, radio and so many other things, and a great way to listen to old-time radio on a Saturday night. But above all, you pledge at any level you can afford, any level that is comfortable for you, but call in tonight and pledge and support old-time radio on a Saturday night, and we'll be here for you for the year to come. Now we'll go, thank you for doing that, too. We'll go back to October 11th, 1953, with James Stewart in Silver Annie's Mine. It's the Six Shooter.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in a moment. First, a word from Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment.
When winter comes, does your house shrink like this?
Well, I guess it's time to close off the two back rooms. There's just no way to heat them.
Don't deprive yourself of valuable living space. Get a Coleman floor furnace or wall heater and enjoy new warmth and comfort in the hardest to heat rooms.
A Coleman floor furnace or wall heater takes up a minimum of space, yet it gives you constant circulation of fresh, warm air, just as a big basement furnace does. You'll be snug and comfortable all winter long.
And if you're interested in economy as well as comfort, listen to this. Coleman floor furnaces and wall heaters are low in price, low in operating cost, because Coleman gives you maximum heat from the fuel you use, either gas or LP gas.
See your Coleman dealer tomorrow. You'll find his name and address in your telephone directory. Remember, comfort costs so little with a Coleman.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
they put Annie in a buckboard and started out for town. I rode alongside for half a mile or so and tried to tell her I wasn't part of getting her arrested, but she wasn't listening. So I gave Scar's head. It was about 9 o'clock when I got back to Virtue City. The place looked even stranger by night than by day. Just a light here and there where folks were living. And then whole blocks of darkness in between. Sort of like like the candles on a cake when part of them had been blown out. I stopped off at the Mansion Hotel long enough to get me a room, then I headed over to Doc Cross's house. He was sitting in the living room eating a box of hard candy when I got there.
Come on in, Brick. Come on in. How'd you make out? Get her to sign on the dotted line?
No.
Sorry to hear that. Oh, I ought to know better than to eat this stuff with my teeth. Sure is good, though. Have a piece?
No, thanks.
Well, now you mustn't feel too bad, Britt. I was afraid you wouldn't have much luck with her. So was Mr. Huxley. He went ahead and got that warrant drawn up.
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
Yeah. I was there when the sheriff arrested her. She thinks I was in cahoots with him and Huxley.
Oh, well, now that's a shame. But don't you worry. I'll see she finds out the truth.
No, I guess it served me right for getting mixed up in her affairs.
No, you wasn't mixing, Britt. You was just doing us a favor, and we're all much obliged. Mm-hmm. You know, sending for Clyde Huxley was just about the smartest stunt I ever pulled.
Maybe so, but you haven't got the right of way yet.
We'll get it, Britt. We'll get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think jailing is the answer. Besides, you'll have to turn her loose anyway. Huxley can't make that charge of attempted murder stake.
No, he's not charging her with anything, Britt.
What?
It's just a question of whether she's got all her faculties or not. That's what the hearing will be about.
You mean he's claiming she's crazy?
Well, you said yourself she was peculiar.
I said she lived in the past, that's all. Everybody's got something to remember, does that, more or less?
Well, in her case, it's more, not less. Of course, it's up to Judge Drayton to decide.
Well, hasn't there got to be medical testimony and a sanity hearing?
Yep. Huxley subpoenaed me this evening.
Doggone it, Doc. Now, this just isn't right.
Huxley's her only relative. He looked up our state law. It says the nearest relative can demand a sanity hearing if there's sufficient cause.
You take that mine away from her, you'll break her heart.
Now, wait a minute, Britt. You said yourself this wasn't none of your business, that you were sorry you mixed into it.
Sure, but it just looks like I got mixed up in it. All right. Good night, Doc. I'll see you later.
Mrs. Huxley, I want to get this clear. You admit firing a shotgun at various people who have approached your place of residence at various times.
I've shot at people trying to get into the Huxley mine, if that's what you mean.
That's right. Now, how often has this occurred?
As often as they tried it.
Yeah, now, order, now. Now, you come to order. It's a very serious matter. Now, let's see, where was... Oh, yes. Surely you must admit this behavior of yours isn't normal.
It's normal for me.
Now, order. What I mean is the average person doesn't use firearms on harmless visitors.
The average person don't own the Huxley mine. I do.
Go ahead, Mr. Huxley.
This is the crux of my poor cousin's delusion. This feeling of hers that the Huxley mine is of some great value, that it still contains silver, when we all know that it's worthless.
And just how do you know that?
You've proved it to us. For 10 years, you've lived there and searched the shafts every day. Have you found silver? Even a trace of it?
No, I ain't.
You see, Your Honor.
If that makes me crazy, then Sin must have really been out of his head. He spent 12 years prospecting that mine before he made his first strike. I still got 2 years to go before I'll be even with him.
Oh, yes, but there was silver there then.
There is now.
Your Honor.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Huxley, but after what Doc Cross said and then what you yourself say, well, I'm afraid that the law allows me no alternative.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Now, see here. We're not going to have any more interruptions. Who is that man, Doc?
Britt Ponson.
Ponson, the six-shooter?
Yes, but now don't you let me talk to you.
Well, if there's something you wish to say, Mr. Ponson, this here court will be happy to hear you.
Well, thanks, Judge. I've been listening to this hearing, and like Mr. Huxley says, it all seems to hinge on whether or not there's any silver in the Huxley mine. What I mean is, if there was silver, then Annie's actions wouldn't seem so strange, would they?
No. I suppose not. She'd be protecting a valuable piece of land. But...
Yeah, well, now, I think maybe you ought to see this report here. You see, I took some ore samples from the Huxley mine over to this assay office this morning. And, here's one of them.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you, Mr. Potter.
Well, if you'll just read that report, Your Honor.
Let's see. Samples tested show a value of approximately... $125 a ton!
$125?
Yeah, I figured they'd run a little higher, but I guess...
Let me see that, Judge.
I can't believe it.
Well, that's what it says, all right. $120... Britt, this ore come from the Huxley?
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Listen, everybody. Everybody, Annie's found silver again. For all we know, the whole town's just sitting on it, just like in the old days. Silver!
Yeah, but what about the railroad? You've got a contract with my company.
We don't need your railroad, Nelson. We've got silver. Yes. Yes.
Freeze! 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 Freeze!
Order!
Now, I wouldn't be too hasty, Doc. Of course, there's no possibility of bringing the line through the Huxley now, I suppose. But there is that other route. It'd cost Mr. Nelson's company a little more money.
That might be arranged. Of course, I'll have to check with the main office.
Oh, you would? Well, that seems a shame. Too bad you can't sort of make the decision right now on the spot, you know, before another railroad hears about the silver and tries to beat you in here.
No. On second thought, there really isn't any reason to delay the matter. If you'll just drop by my office, Dr. Cross, I'll send the contract and give the order to begin construction on the other route.
Well, I guess that takes care of everything except Annie and the sanity hearing. You were just about to hand down a ruling, Judge, weren't you?
Now, you come to order. Well, there's no question about her sanity. And I'm surprised at you, Mr. Huxley. A lawyer of your standing, pressing a complaint like this. Why, Silver Annie Huxley is one of Virtue City's outstanding citizens. Always has been. Always will be. Court adjourned.
Inside of 5 minutes, the only people left in that courtroom were me and Annie. The funny thing, you know, she was the only person who hadn't been excited about the silver. She just kind of stared at me without budging. And then the corners of her lips sort of wrinkled up into a smile.
Britt Ponsett?
Yes, ma'am.
You better get out of town before they find out. They'd tar and feather you for sure.
Well, what are you talking about, Annie?
Why, you think I didn't recognize that piece of ore? I ought to. I've been looking at it for 30 years. Them samples have been sitting on my dresser ever since Sin found them in his first strike.
No.
You saw them last night. You knew they were souvenirs from the old days.
Well, they could have been something that you dug up recently, couldn't they?
I'm not saying you lied, Britt. All you told them was that the ore was from the Huxley. That's true enough. It's just a good thing they didn't ask you when.
Yes, I guess it is. Well, anybody can make a mistake, you know.
You knew what you were doing. And you knew the railroad would be coming through the other route before they got wise.
No, I wouldn't exactly say that, but under the circumstances, I kind of think maybe I'd better leave town. Don't you think that would be... So long, Annie.
Wait a minute, Britt. I want to thank you.
Oh, well, nothing to thank me for, Annie. It just looks like I can't tell old ore samples from fresh ones. That's all. A month or two later before I heard about Virtue City again, bumped into a fellow in Idaho Springs who was heading up that way. Said there'd been a big silver strike near the town. I tried to talk him out of going over there. I told him it was probably just a false alarm. He wouldn't listen. He said there'd been a false strike 3 or 4 weeks ago, and everybody went out prospecting. And the first thing you knew, somebody found silver, the real thing. Fella had a newspaper from Virtue City to prove it. Editorial on the front page was by Doc Cross about moving the county seat back to where it belonged. Things sure have a funny way of working out, don't they?
Here's a tip for more great dramatic entertainment each week on the NBC Radio Network. Direct from his great hit in From Here to Eternity comes a new dramatic Frank Sinatra to play the hard-hitting adventure role of Rocky Fortune every Tuesday evening. And if comedy is your weakness, you'll want to know that Fibber McGee and Molly are now heard every day, Monday through Friday, on the NBC Radio Network. Remember, you'll hear more of America's greatest radio programs if you keep your dial set to this same station of the NBC Radio Network. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company have presented James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Dan O'Herlihy, Herb Vigran, Robert Griffin, and Parley Bear. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions and is based on a character created by Frank Burke, and the transcribed story is written by him. Special music was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking. Listen to Last Man Out next on the NBC Radio Network.
And that's the way it sounded on NBC on the evening of October 11th, 1953. James Stewart as the Six Shooter in an episode called Silver Annie's Mine that also featured Parley Bear, who was probably most familiar to radio listeners as the voice of Chester Proudfoot in Gunsmoke, and went on to do all kinds of other things in radio and TV. And also in there, the very, very versatile Jeanette Nolan as Silver Annie. She was a voice that could just turn up in all kinds of places, and you wouldn't know it until you heard the credits that it was Jeanette Nolan. So versatile was she. Well, we have some virtuosi out there tapping into old-time radio drama this Saturday night, too, and we'll find out a little bit more about how it's going for old-time radio drama this Saturday, as per your votes and your pledges here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Norman Gilliland here with Gene Purcell. Jack Benny will be along in a few minutes with a show about a golf match at the Hillcrest Country Club, and we'll find out how Jack sizes up on the golf course. And we'll find out even sooner how old-time radio drama is faring this Saturday night. This is the only Saturday night that we'll be asking you this year to call in and support old-time radio drama. So if you like it, now's the time to call. Make the phone ring back there in Pledge Central. Pick the amount, and we'll be here for you for the year to come.
800-383-9772 is that toll-free number. And first things first, we have to pass along some news about the radio.
The good news, bad news.
There's a good news, bad news scenario here. The good news is people loved those radios. Then apparently I was very persuasive in convincing people to call, because those 10 radios walked out the door in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was an amazing thing.
Yeah, that was a blitz of response.
It sure was. So thanks to everyone who called. The radios are gone right now, so all you have left is me and Norman and the programming. So
well, there are a few other things there, too. There's that member card, remember, at the $120
level. Oh, sure.
In fact, not just the $120 level, but everything on from $120 up. And haven't said it yet tonight, but for a $120 pledge, you'll get all your value back just out of that card.
Yeah, and especially if you think about the new B&B element of that member benefit card, there are 44 bed and breakfasts and counting, and I say
44. Okay. 44
so
far. More than I thought.
In Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin. And I say 44, that's a temporary number because I know that during the course of the week here on Wisconsin Public Radio, we've gotten some calls from B&B operators who've heard about this. And they would say, we would like to get on.
So there will be more.
There will be more. And the way it works is you go two nights at a B&B. The first night you pay for and the second night is free with your member card. And, you know, even a moderately priced B&B is nearly going to pay back with that card.
That's right.
One weekend.
One B&B mm-hmm. and one
meal
out, and you get your $120 back. And more important to Gene and me and to you, you have cast a vote for old-time radio drama on a Saturday night. It's really the best way we have of knowing you're out there listening on a Saturday night. We've had many people say, oh, gosh, I guess we wish we could get more of this, you know. And so, lo and behold, we added it last year,
mm-hmm.
and now we need to know that you're there. Whatever pledge, whether it's a $5 pledge or a $500 pledge, now is the time to call and say, I'm listening. Make the phone ring. You'll hear it back there in Pledge Central at 1-800-383-9772, or you can go to the web at wpr.org. The next call puts us at the $2,500 level. That is a milestone. That's going to say right there that old-time radio is a success for a Saturday night, but we need to hear that phone ring with a pledge behind it. And you pick the amount, and you know, if it's a $10 a month pledge, and you can pay it that way too. You can pay it $10 a month with an electronic funds transfer, put it on your credit card, however you want to do it. Thank you for that call. I think it sounded like two calls. That $120 gets you the member card, and it's only $10 a month, mm-hmm. and you get 6 hours a week of old time radio.
It's a deal that you can't really find anywhere else. And one of the volunteers back in Pledge Central here will be happy to take your call. The whole process takes just a couple of minutes, and I'm willing to bet almost that if you called right now, you'd be done making your pledge before we got back into old-time radio. So call right now, get it out of the way, and then you can listen knowing that you've done your part for Wisconsin Public Radio and for old-time radio drama on a Saturday night. 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
And let's see if we can get that last call to get us to the $2,500 mark, which is a milestone for old-time radio. Let's see if we can get that last call in the next 60 seconds, and there's plenty of time for you to get that call in. There it is. Let's hope that's a $60 pledge, maybe, or $120 pledge.
Even better.
A member card would be great. It's very important that we hear from you, if you'll hear from us, for the next 51 Saturdays, not even mentioning the Sundays at this point. Thank you for that call. We'll be back with an update. We'll tell you a little bit more about the advantages of supporting old-time radio drama Saturday night. But right now we're going to go out to the golf match at the Hillcrest Country Club with our full complement of Rochester, Dennis Day, Mary Livingston, and Phil Harris, and Jack getting in over his head in a golf match in an outing from October 19th, 1947. Thanks for calling or going to the web at 1-800-383-9772 or WPR.org. You sound great.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, the last few weeks, Jack Benny has been taking his golf game very seriously, playing every day. In fact, bright and early this morning, Jack and Rochester got in the car and started for the Hillcrest Country Club.
It's going to be a lovely day, Rochester. I can feel it. You know, fall is the nicest season of the year. And it's so invigorating early in the morning. What'd you stop the car for?
I got to lift up the door. We ain't out of the garage yet.
Well, yes, these Quonset huts are so long. Now, Rochester, go straight down Rexford and turn right on... No, no, turn left on Wilshire Boulevard. I don't want to pass Pico and Sepulveda.
Yes, sir.
You know, Rochester, fall is my favorite season. When the leaves start turning golden brown and the fragrant breeze wafts them gently to Mother Earth. And at the close of each day, as the sun sinks beyond the horizon, it seems like some elfin painter has gilded the sky and left it glowing with 100 brilliant colors. Ah, what fools men are, not to halt their breathless pace and admire the beauties of nature. Rochester, what are you stopping for now?
I gotta open the gateway and out of the driveway.
Oh, yes. I better hurry, Rochester. I'm supposed to meet... Hey, what are you looking at?
There's smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe.
Huh? Let me see. Oh, that's just a little smoke.
A little? If we could get this thing off the ground, we could do skywriting.
Oh, it's all right. Come on, let's get going. You know, I'm supposed to meet Phil Harris at the golf club at 10:30. Oh, boy, I can hardly wait till I get out on that course. The way I've been playing lately, I bet I'll... Oh, Rochester. Rochester, pull over at the curb and slow down. Pull over. Oh, miss. Oh, miss. Going down Wilshire, miss? Drive on, Rochester.
Give up, do you, boy?
Rochester, I merely wanted to give her a lift. You know, it never hurts to be kindly and lend a helping hand to those less fortunate who haven't got a car. Someday the tables may be turned and I might...
Going down Wilshire, mister?
Get lost. The tables may be turned. It might be me who's in the same spot. I wonder why that girl wouldn't... could understand it if I wasn't good-looking or something.
Maybe it's the car, boss. Why don't you trade in for a newer model?
What for? This car always takes us where we want to go.
I know, but look how much older we are when we get there.
What's the difference? That's the trouble, Rochester. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody's rushing through life. They don't stop to enjoy the beauties of nature. Like now, it's fall. The leaves are turning golden brown. And the fragrant breeze wafts them gently to the river. And at the close of each day, as the sun sinks beyond the horizon, it seems like some elfin painter has gilded the sky and left it glowing with a hundred...
Boss! Boss! Stop! You're upsetting the motor!
I guess you're right. And Rochester, drive more in the middle of the street. The falling leaves are denting the fenders. Maybe I will trade this in. Oh, Rochester. Rochester. Pull over at the curb again.
It's the same girl, boss. We ain't past her yet.
I don't mean her. The one on the corner. Going down Wilshire, honey?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Benny.
What? Dennis, what's the idea of wearing a green dress?
Well, I'm not wearing a green dress. I'm standing behind a mailbox.
Mailbox?
You better wear your glasses, boss. Last week, you almost picked up the sunset bus.
Yeah. I thought she was winking at me, but it was the taillight. Hop in, Dennis.
Okay, thanks.
Dennis, would you like to come along with me? I'm going to Hillcrest to play golf with Phil.
Well, that's where I was going, and Phil Harris promised to caddy for me again.
Phil Harris caddies for you?
Yeah, and he makes it so easy for me to play the game. All I have to do is carry the bag, tee up the ball, and Phil hits it for me.
Dennis.
If he doesn't start hitting them better, I'm going to get a new caddy.
Dennis. Dennis. Boy, look at me.
Huh?
Let me explain something to you. When you carried the bag, Phil wasn't caddying for you. You were caddying for him.
I was?
Certainly.
Gee, how I ever got two shows, I'll never know.
It's amazing. Rochester, turn on the radio.
We ain't got no radio.
Then sing something, will you, Dennis? I can't stand any more of that talk.
Okay.
tables down at Maury's, to the place where Louis dwells, to the dear old Temple Bar we love so well. Sing the whippin' folks assembled with their glasses raised on high, and the magic of their singing casts its spell. Yes, the magic of their singing, of the songs we love so well. Shall I wasting and mavurnin and the rest? We will serenade on Louis while life and voice and love. Then we'll pass and be forgotten with
here, Rochester, and I'll meet you on the first tee. I'm having lunch with Miss Livingston. See you later, Dennis. Dum dee da dum bum, da dee da da dum, da 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 dum bum dee dum.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Hello. Just Molly and me and Fibber McGee. We're happy with our new Hooper. La 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 la. A turn to the right, and Harris is tight. Yeah, I wonder where Mary's sitting.
Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary. I thought you were going to be alone.
What?
Who are your friends?
Those are my golf clubs. Put on your glasses.
Oh, I wondered what they were all doing on one chair. The Niblick looks like Abe Blastvogel. Mary. Mary, did you order something to eat?
Yes, and I ordered a sandwich for you, too.
Good, good. You know, I can hardly wait to get out of that golf course. I'm playing Phil today.
Oh, Jack, you shouldn't play against Phil. He's too good for you.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about. Look how George Burns beat you yesterday.
Well?
And the day before that, you took a trimming from Cagney.
All right, Cagney, so I was off my game. What about last week when I played O'Brien?
But, Jack, you're so much bigger than she is.
Well?
When she sunk that 20-foot putt, you got so mad you kicked her doll in the sand trap.
Who wouldn't be mad? Every time I got ready to drive, the doll would go, Mama, Mama. What tricks those kids use. And for 10 cents a hole. Gee, you'd think that... Oh, Mary, there's Lou Clayton and Artie Stebbins. Gee, they're great golfers. They hit the ball almost every time they swing at it. Now, Mary, look, there's Norman Krasner over there.
Norman Krasner?
Yeah, he's the fellow that loved that joke I told last year. You know, the one about, like, a moose needs a hat rack. Oh, he was crazy about it.
He was?
Yeah, watch this. Hey, Norman, like a moose needs a hat rack. Every time I mention it, he goes crazy. I never saw anything like it. Hey, there's Don Wilson sitting at the next table there.
Where?
Right over there.
Oh, waiter, will you take my order, please?
Yes, sir. What'll you have, Mr. Wilson?
Now, let's see. I'll start out with a bowl of oxtail soup and a combination salad. Oh, a nice thick sirloin steak and mashed potatoes, some string beans, some carrots, and a side order of spinach, a little cauliflower, and some hot rolls and coffee.
Yes, sir. Any dessert?
I don't know. What kind of pie have you got?
Apple, blueberry, peach, custard, raisin, and pineapple.
Good, I'll have them.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear that, Mary? How can Don digest all that food?
Well, don't you remember, Jack, last summer he was operated on?
Yeah, what did they take out?
Nothing. They put in a deep freeze.
Hey, that's pretty good, Mary. Deep freeze. Hey, Norman, did you hear that? I knew he'd like it.
And we'll get back to Jack Benny. If you like Jack Benny jokes and all, well, be with us this Saturday night. I'm Norman Gilliland here with Gene Purcell, and we're just closing in on the 9 o'clock hour, and we're closing in on $3,000 worth of support for old-time radio drama Saturday night from people who have called in at 1-800-383-9772, or maybe they went to the web. Maybe they're listening to us online in some far-flung place, and they went to WPR.org. Three more calls at the $100 level, approximately, or even a little less, and we'll be at the $3,000 mark supporting old-time radio drama for a Saturday night here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll be the next to ring the phone.
It'd be a great way to kickstart the night. We had an original goal of $2,500, but it would be great. We're very, very close to that $3,000 mark. And 23 phone calls so far, thanks to all of you who have called or pledged on the web. It is a great feeling and a great response to old-time radio drama here on a Saturday night. We've heard from a lot of folks around the state. Linda in Sun Prairie loves old-time radio, makes
Thank you,
her
Linda.
Weekends. We like that. We also heard from Arlene in Platteville, the best thing that happens on Saturday and Sunday nights. It really brings out your imagination.
Thanks, Arlene.
Yeah, and it sure does. And, you know, during the break here, Norman and I were talking and listening to Jack Benny, and there is just a timeless quality to a lot of these programs where, you know, they're 50, 40, 60 years old, and they may as well have been recorded yesterday because they are still very relevant and they are funny.
They're fresh.
It's just amazing stuff, and it's great that we have the opportunity to bring them to you, and it's just as great, frankly, that you enjoy listening to them as much as we like bringing them to you. So show your support for them. Give us a call at 800-383-9772 or pledge online. It is WPR.org. And don't forget, when you pledge at that $120 level, you instantly become eligible. You get it. I was going to say, you don't become eligible for it. You get it. I was adding an extra step there that's not necessary. You call, you make the pledge at $120 or more, and you get the member benefits card. So give us a call at 800-383-9772.
There's a call right there. Somebody probably got one. Thank you for that call. And let's see if we just get two more calls here in the next couple of minutes before we go back to Jack Benny. You can do several things all at once. If you pledge at any level, you're casting a vote for old-time radio on a Saturday night. The best way we have of knowing you're out there. If you even want to make a $5 pledge, or whether it's that or a $500 pledge, thank you for that call. It's the best, most direct way we have of knowing you're out there listening to old-time radio on a Saturday night. And you get to say to whoever picks up the phone there or make a comment on the web, This is what I want to hear for the next 51 Saturdays. And if you're here for us just for a couple of minutes tonight, we'll be here for you for the rest of the year. If you go to WPR.org or call 1-800-383-9772. Well, that's a big thing you can accomplish. You can also, if you pledge at the $120 level or up, you get that member card Gene and I have been telling you about that gives you the two-for-one dining at more than 200 places around
251.
The state. And 44 bread and breakfasts.
There's some bread there. I think many of them do have bread,
they do have bread.
I think you're covered, yeah.
B&B, as you get from 44 of them around Wisconsin, will offer you two nights for the price of one when you have that member card. So consider using it just a couple of times. You get your $120 back. You're casting a vote for Old Time Radio on a Saturday night, and you get to hear the program for the next 51 weeks. That's a good deal. They don't get much better than that.
Nope. Who could ask for more? We're at $2,700 now, so that's some very nice progress. 24 phone calls, and we talked about making 25.
Let's see if we can get that last
call. Let's
do
it.
We've got about a minute 10 before we go back to Jack Benny.
800-383-9772. You listen to old-time radio drama on Saturdays, Sunday nights. Maybe you're sitting at home in the dark looking at the tubes on your radio. Maybe you're, as I like to do, I like to listen while I'm watching a fire of some kind. Campfires
are
great.
We had a call from a campfire.
Yeah.
That's right. Somebody from Minneapolis. I don't know where he or she was camping, but said it's a great way to listen to old-time radio.
It is a tremendous way. I love being in the woods and listening to old-time radio drama. I don't know what it is that makes it so great, but give it a shot. I guarantee you'll love it.
And give us a call.
800-383-9772. Listeners support the service here on Wisconsin Public Radio. About 31% of our operating budget comes directly from people like you, people who use the service, people who find value in it, and people who on a Saturday night just like to have fun with old-time radio drama. 800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org.
And thanks for doing that. Next stop, part two of Jack Benny. Oh, that sounds great. Remember, get that member card at the $120 level and up, and I guarantee you'll do very well with that. You'll get it all back and have a good time doing it, too. In 10 seconds, it's back to the Hillcrest Country Club with that golf match featuring Jack Benny from October 19th, 1947. You're listening to old-time radio drama and supporting it. It comes to you from the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.